This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. One of the tools that the Justice Department has used to fight terrorism domestically is the Material Witness Law. A report being released by the American Civil Liberties Union and Human Rights Watch accuses the government of misusing the law to detain innocent people for extended periods of time. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports.
Dr. Tajmal Bhatti lives in a small town where Virginia meets Tennessee in North Carolina. He's a 68-year-old psychiatrist who likes to sprinkle his conversation with expressions like,
"It's easy to talk the talk, as they say at church, but walk the walk is a thing to do."
It can be incongruous when he's talking about being suspected of terrorism. Bhatti moved to the U.S. from Pakistan in the 60s for his medical degree. He's been a U.S. citizen for more than 30 years, so he was surprised when FBI agents arrested him as a material witness to terrorism. An agent interrogated him about activities that, to Bhatti, seemed perfectly normal.
"I'd taken a course in nuclear medicine, and the word nuclear, I think, meant dangerous to him. And, you know, most physicians, radiology or for cancer, I mean, we have to learn part of nuclear medicine and so how that stuff works."
Congress enacted the Material Witness Law in 1984. It allows the government to arrest people who are witnesses to a crime if prosecutors believe the person would not show up to testify under a subpoena. Dr. Bhatti's case is one of 70 that the ACLU and Human Rights Watch reviewed for a report on the government's use of the Material Witness Law. The report accuses the Justice Department of misusing the law to go on so-called fishing expeditions for evidence against Muslim men. Anjana Malhotra authored the report.
These witnesses not only often had no information relevant to a criminal investigation, but there was no indication that the witness was going to flee.
The report describes cases where people were held for months. In some instances, they were denied lawyers or kept in solitary confinement while government agents gathered evidence against them. George Washington University law professor Stephen Salzberg says this may not have been the original intent of the law.
"I think we have a much broader government effort to use all powers at its disposal to detain a wide array of people who probably would never have been detained prior to 9/11.
In a speech to the American Bar Association last year, now Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez confirmed that the government uses the Material Witness Law to keep terrorism suspects in custody. Gonzalez was White House counsel at the time.
"In any case where it appears that a U.S. citizen captured within the United States may be an Al-Qaeda operative, numerous options are considered by the various relevant agencies, and those options include the potential for criminal prosecution, detention as a material witness, and detention as an enemy combatant."
Mary Jo White says there's nothing wrong with that. She used the Material Witness Law when she was U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York.
"Very often witnesses become subjects, become targets in every kind of investigation. What you're seeking as a prosecutor by a material witness warrant is information that's relevant to your and important to your investigation, and that can certainly come from subjects of the investigation as well as, you know, mere witnesses."
The Justice Department released a statement in response to the report. In it, spokesman Kevin Madden points out that judges review every petition for a material witness arrest warrant.
"Material witness statutes are used carefully. They are used with judicial oversight, and they are designed to secure testimony to aid a criminal investigation."
The ACLU Human Rights Watch report urges judges to question prosecutors thoroughly before agreeing to issue a material arrest warrant. Dr. Bhatti says he would have been happy to work with federal authorities if they'd asked him. Instead, having spent a week in jail, he now describes himself as branded.
"I don't think the government has issued a statement saying, well, we have investigated him, okay, and he's not associated with terrorism. So there's nothing stopping people that don't know me, or even those that do know me, wondering if I was doing something suspicious, in which case their feelings for me change or they give me dirty looks."
Bhatti says his friends still ask why the government has never publicly acknowledged his innocence. He doesn't know how to answer them. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.